possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. Wow. It's over the bar.
Hello everyone and welcome along to the RTE GAA podcast. It's week two of the Football Championship, six provincial quarterfinals down for decision this weekend, and Ryan McCluskey is with myself and Rory to preview them all. How's the form, Ryan?
It's just okay. I'm a bit frustrated by just the lack of enthusiasm and kind of maybe build up, you know towards the championship. Usually, you know, Ulster football, we have sunshine, you know, everybody's out in shorts. And
the sun shines in Ulster.
Maybe the weather, but maybe not the games at times. But I don't know, the condensed season, just for me, it's frustrating at the moment. You know, there's been no real build up. You know, the Ulster GAA haven't really put, maybe they're, I don't know if they have the money or not, their usual kind of backing behind it. But it just, you know, last weekend's game, I think there was about 8,000, maybe 8,500.
Yeah.
It, so, and it was a big derby game. Again, everyone looking forward to it, but I just think it's maybe the quick turnaround. You know, we could look at a number of things, but for me, you know, championship football was always summertime. Whatever we had with the weather was the weather, but usually we had a couple of sunny days somewhere in the middle of our Irish kind of fun summer, and it doesn't feel like it. So.
Yeah. The only thing is that with the three upsets that we got last week, Rory, you would think there's a bit of a bounce there now where people are like, yeah, you know, come on, let's go. Let's get a few. Maybe we won't get any this weekend, but you know. Maybe
I do think there could be an upset this weekend. And look, I would give Fermanagh a shake. I think Fermanagh, Armagh coming to the Brewster, coming to Enniskillen, they have a massive following. I'd imagine the Fermanagh crowd will get out in good numbers. I mean, it's a pretty good fixture in a lot of ways. There have been good upsets down through the years. You've been involved in a couple of them yourself, Ryan, you know, in terms of turning Armagh over. And I think there's potentially a couple of upsets across the other fixtures. Now, I don't know about Wicklow and Kildare. I think the romance could end for Wicklow on that front. I mean, for them to knock out Westmead and Kildare in the space of 7 days,
it'd be unbelievable.
Tall order, like, in fairness, like. But I'd give Wexford a shot against Louth, I would. You know, like, their form has been good. They were unlucky maybe not to get out of Division 4. So we could still get a couple of stories. I think, yeah, the fact last weekend, you still had the Hurling League kind of hanging in there. The break now is more or less done. The league is more or less completed. Well, it is. Championship now, very much from here on in. There are a couple of fixtures. I mean, Dublin and Meath, it's got its history, but not too much of modern vintage, unfortunately. And it's a pity, again, that fixture, I suppose, has been played in Croke Park. I know initially it was meant to go to Tailteann, but I think there's an issue with some sort of construction issue that maybe might have precluded it from being staged there, which is a pity, because I think it would have knocked a couple of points off the margin maybe, but probably with the same result at the same time, even though Brian Fenton missing now too. But I still think there's enough there. Lee Shoffley, a constituency and a county fixture. So, like, you know, like, we're clinging, Jackie.
You're clinging now. You're really pulling at it. Ryan, where do you see the potential for the biggest upset? Or any?
I'm gonna obviously hang my hat out here and just hope that this weekend, you know, Fermanagh have talked about it in the media as well. You know, I think Young McGullion came out and said about trying to make Brewster Park a fortress again. I think it was 2018 when we played them in Brewster Park. You know, we were pretty resilient that day. We had a decent game plan. I think if we produce anything similar to that, you know, I think there could be a shock on the carbs in terms of, you know, I know we went out that day and listen, we made no bones about it. We were going to sit back. We were going to try and, you know, going to try and play a high-paced counter-attacking game. You know, we forced a lot of mistakes and kicking mistakes from Armagh that day, which allowed us to bring that counter-attacking game. And, you know, we played that kind of risky game where we just invited them on, you know, and we took our chances, and we knew, you know, that they could kick from distance as well. The conditions that day probably favoured maybe the kicking team as well. I know we sat quite deep that day, but I honestly believe, you know, that Fermanagh do have, they have that defensive, you know, the you know shape and qualities that, you know, you look at the Pugh Collins, you look at Young McGullion, you look at, you know, there's a lot of quality in there. Johnny Cassidy may return, for me, probably one of the best, you know, man markers in Ulster. And, you know, I think if we can stifle them, especially early on, you know, not concede, no silly goals, no high scores early on, I think we can stifle them. And I know myself and Rory, and I know he was doing a bit of research before the game and watching the league encounter.
Watched the league game, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, Fermanagh were very open that day. And for me, they just have to get 15 behind the ball and try and get the crowd on the pitch maybe and help us out as well, you know, but have those 15 behind the ball. And, you know, I suppose match numbers more than anything else when you're going forward as well. You've got to take that risk. And, you know, if you're playing a counter-attacking game, you need that pace and power. Get Alton Kelham on the ball, sorry. He brings, you know, enormous energy. Get him on the ball early. Get him taking on, you know, those Armagh players. And yeah, going at them with numbers, because there is pace and power in this side as well. And I think just it's just like, you know, just let the shackles off this weekend. Go at it. I don't think they've anything to fear, and see where it takes them. Yeah.
They kind of have nothing to lose either, Rory, because even if you take that league game, it was a bit of cat and mouse still even there. There was only 4 points between them. I think they know if we take the same approach, we can be close enough. So they might as well have a rattle here.
Exactly. They've got absolutely nothing to lose, and all the pressure's on Armagh. And we have seen in the past Armagh, you know, sometimes don't handle that pressure all that well. 15-11 in a league game, as Ryan mentioned, watched it earlier. I thought they just were a little bit risky in the wrong areas for me, for Mana, in so far as they're like, they persisted with a short kick out and they got rumbled on two or three occasions. Now, on each, like the thing with a short kick out in the modern intercounty game, if you get turned over, it's either going to be an absolute goal chance or a certain point. It's one of the other, because you're turning somebody on the back foot, you've the ball inside their 45 meter line, everybody is out the field, and you're away to the races. So I think they took risks in the wrong areas. I think what I'd be looking for from Manna's perspective this weekend is maybe slightly more agricultural on their kick out. Try and get a few more bodies in and around that breaks, which is where they lost. Because when they were going long, they were struggling as well, but they didn't flood as many bodies in and around that break and ball. But once they got their hands on primary possession, I didn't really see a huge amount of difference between the two sides. I think they've got a half back line there that's as good as any around the place in Shane McGullion, Declan McCusker and McMahon. They are well capable of attacking from using that as a launch pad. They've got lads in that line that can kick scores. They're probably going to have to keep a closer eye and a tighter defensive unit. They can't be coughing up the goal chances like they did against Armagh that day, even though they didn't concede any. And I think what's probably gnawing away at them a small bit is the very bad day at the office against Louth, where they conceded six. And that did come about with, I felt, an overcomplicated kick out. I think this might be a case of take the risks in the right areas. Don't sit off the Armagh kick out in the way that you did in the league game. Maybe push slightly further up. But on your own kick out, try not to take too much of a risk, because you, this time round, you're going to have probably Rian O'Neill playing. You might have a couple of, you like Murnin will probably be pushed further in. Keane McConville is playing really well. Armagh have weapons all over the field. Soupy, you know, they have got like, Turbitt, they will cause absolute carnage if they manage to get their hands on that ball and they turn you over in those kickout scenarios. But I don't see Fermanagh going in without hope, and I think it will be a tight enough game.
What is that plan then, Ryan? If they do the things that Rory is talking about, you just don't want to play into Armagh's hands, because if they do turn you over, they're lightning quick and they are very, very, very efficient and athletic with ball in hand.
Yeah, Rory makes some great points. And yeah, I only can look back to that game in 18, and that was nearly a carbon copy of how we played that day, in terms of, I think we looked like we were going to go short. We forced them, we forced the kick out, sorry, long, and we forced them into long kickouts, and it was just a case of trying to win that battle with numbers in the middle of the pitch. And, you know, I think we were the aggressors that day, in terms of, you know, if we didn't win first phase ball, we shut them down. So we I think we were pretty clever to foul and then to kind of get back in mass numbers and defend on our terms, you know, facing the ball. And that's one of the key components, listening to the modern game as well. And Rory's completely right. You know, you can listen, you can look for short kickouts and quick kickouts, and, you know, it can be detrimental as well. You know, a lot of the top sides do their homework. You know, they're going to shut you down, and you're right. You know, when your head's down and you're receiving that ball, you're turning those pictures off from looking at play in that split second, because you can't go back clearly to the keeper. That can be detrimental because you can be close down, and you don't want those players, as we've and mentioned and Rory's mentioned, you don't want those players getting on the ball that high up the pitch. You know, just take that option away from them, you know, and if they want to get the ball, listen, let them go out 45, 50 metres, 60 metres and see if they can break, you know, 15 players down and see if they can get down the middle of the pitch, and then put your hand up and say, you know what, we've been beaten by a better side. But for me, you know, that bit of maybe gamesmanship, nastiness, call it whatever you want, you know.
Stuck in, yeah.
Yeah, I would like a little bit more of that. And yeah, just, you know, yeah. And just if we can build from a reasonable start, break any momentum, if they do get into any momentum as well, you know, I can see it possibly being one of those long days at the office for Armagh, and there is pressure in Armagh. You know, let's call a spade, you know, we call Kieran out every year. It's a bit like Phil Jackson in the Last Dance, and Aidan Faulkner recognised that, I think, during the week as well, when he's just constantly being asked and asked and asked, you know. And, you know, if you look at last season, unfortunate with two penalty shootouts, I believe, as well, wasn't it? And
yeah.
Two keep here. So, you know, they'll take their learnings from that and they'll come down with confidence. Aidan Faulkner's, you know, would have been an absolute credit to himself and the county, and one of the best players in Ulster and Ireland over the last number of years. And he believes that the best team, management team, and players in Armagh, so they come down buoyant, you know, and looking forward to the game as well. So let's hope it makes a mouth-watering clash.
I hope it does. Mm-hmm. I hope it does. And the one thing I would say about Armagh, Rory, is, sorry to cut you off there.
No problem.
I think they see this as their best opportunity to win an Ulster title. I think they think this is the year.
Well, I mean, they're like, look, if we look at the draw, themselves and Fermanagh meeting the winners of Down and Antrim. So no Division 1 sides to worry about. No, yeah. Like the only, like in fact, the Division 2, only Division 2 team they're going to meet before they get to the final, they're playing on Sunday coming. So they will have a chance. And by the time they meet whoever they meet coming through the other side, given how difficult the other side of the draw is, what class of a condition they're going to be, given the frenetic nature now of the calendar, with teams having to play week on week, depending whether it's Donegal, Derry, or whoever comes through, you know, it'll give them a good chance if they can launch themselves from this weekend. But again, look, I mean, we were expecting more from them in the league final. It was a bad day at the office for them, in fairness. Look, they had their excuses, and there was a bug in the camp, and that can happen. So they're given a pass on that day, but it's probably happened a lot for Armagh. And I think from Fermanagh's perspective going in this weekend, the pressure should be off. They should go out and play with a bit of freedom. And the reality as well, from a Fermanagh perspective, is that even if they're beaten, and this is where you do go in with that devoid of pressure, even if you're beaten, that Tailteann Cup is there for Fermanagh to go after. Big time it is. So there's plenty of football left, irregardless of what happens on Sunday, which I think should allow them to go into this match and play with a bit more abandon and go after this game. And you never know.
I think the fact that you've mentioned the Tailteann Cup now has given them all the impetus now that they need to go and actually win on Sunday. What about the other game in Ulster then, Ryan? Down in Antrim, 10 years since Antrim won an Ulster Championship game.
Jenny.
And it is a nice reminder of how quickly this thing can go away from you. Like, they're looking at this in a completely different light. They got hammered in the league by Down 115 to 16. This feels like, I don't think anybody is giving them a prayer here for I guess for all of those reasons.
I don't know if you know the backstory, because 10 years ago it was actually against Fermanagh, I believe.
Yes, I do. I didn't want to bring that up, but listen.
And I actually missed a gilded chance at the end of that game. I took a bit of a nosebleed. It was up far too high, but anyway. The less said about that, yeah, I think was it Paddy McBride came out and said about, you know, that being 10 years ago, and it was an interesting insight, you know, that he had put out. I think it was with BBC, and he had said about just, you know, the fact that they're not just there to win games, and you know, they want to compete, is as best they can, and obviously they'll be going, you know, there to win at the weekend as well. They have players, they have talent. I suppose you're always looking for just whoever that coach may be to come in and just, yeah, put them on that winning platform, you know, as well. And I know they've been without their captain, I think, Healy, for most of the league, Peter Healy, and he'll return. Ryan Murray up front will return, and we know he has loads of craft and experience as well. And they'll be looking to the likes of Rory McCann, who's had a mixed kind of season as well. They've had, you know, players, they have talent. And, you know, they will be looking for that victory against Down. And they'll actually go with confidence to Down as well. You know, it was Ambrose Rodgers, I think, came out as well and said that, you know, they were disappointed after their performance against Westmeath in Croke Park. And that maybe some of the Down fans at times are maybe a bit kind of fickle. Well, I wouldn't really probably call it that. I think there's still maybe a bit of arrogance that precedes maybe their recent campaigns. You know, it was what, 2017, I think, was the last real time we looked at Down as being any type of force. And I think they went to the Ulster final against Tyrone possibly that year as well. So, you know, they have been rebuilding. They were unlucky against Westmeath that day when we swing it to Down. But I'm kind of unsure again about this fixture. It's one of those games where I'm kind of unsure. And I suppose the reason why was, you know, Down. I think it was, I've noted their round seven, they beat Wicklow in the league. So these are the swings and kind of permutations. And then Wicklow beat Westmeath. And then obviously Westmeath end up beating Down in the final. So it swings and roundabouts. I probably can't call this one at the weekend, to be quite fair as well.
Very hard to get a form line on Down, Rory, because last year I thought they should have won the Telton Cup, actually. I thought they were the best team in it. I thought they'd played really good football. I think what Conor Laverty has done with this team has been a really good trajectory. They seem like they're going in the right way. But yet you're looking at them here and you're thinking, yeah, maybe they'll win this weekend, but what are they going to do? What are they going to do in the Championship? It's just very hard to get a form line on where they're going. And a lot of it is back to that Croke Park performance against Westmeath when there was something real and tangible on the line. And they didn't cross over. They didn't get it for the second year.
Second year, yeah, exactly. There is stuff like sometimes when a club team wins an All-Ireland club title, for instance, the way Glenn, I wouldn't necessarily say it's a game changer in terms of electrifying a county or instilling belief into a county, but it can certainly add a level of impetus to the. Just to bring a level of that kind of success, we can compete at the top. Kilcoo, I felt, were in a similar category to go and to beat Kilmacud Crokes, which is like, let's be honest, it's no mean feat. And I was kind of half expecting when you added that into the mix with some very good underage sides recently, Down have produced some exceptionally good underage footballers. They have always produced a stylish type of player and a player that will, you know, like really kind of, you know, sassy types of forwards that you'd love to watch. Have they the grit and have they transferred? Down to me are a bit like Cork and a bit like Kildare. They've struggled, I think, with the way the modern game has sort of evolved. They really have never gotten their head around it. And I still think they're a little bit lost. Will we know, have they found themselves after this Saturday? I'm not so sure. They're at home. They're playing against Antrim. They walloped Antrim in Corrigan Park in the league. I'd expect a similar type result this time round. And I don't necessarily see them slipping up. I think they'll have just too much quality all over the place. But I'm not entirely sure if we'll have found anything more about Down this Saturday either at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I do. Okay, Leinster then. Quarterfinals in Leinster as well. And I think the All-Ireland champions coming in, again, Ryan, to your point earlier, you feel like a little under the radar. Like, this is a Dublin team who, even when you're looking back over their records, whatever about the Leinster Championship and the lack of competition thereof, you still have to admire Dublin and what they've done. 14 potential championship titles in a row if they can win it again this year. and I mean, it doesn't even feel like an if conversation right now. They haven't lost a game in Leinster since 2010, since that Meath semi-final way back then. And like, whatever about we give out about the provincial structures and all that, but sometimes I think we forget to give credit to Dublin and how much they have managed to do in this period of dominance, and the funding, all of that that goes into this conversation is obviously a huge part of it. But I do think sometimes just the recognition of the All-Ireland champions and what they've actually done in football in the last couple of years has really just been quite spectacular.
Absolutely. And you know, you've got to give the players massive credit for that as well. You know, it's inter-county players are tough, you know, and for them to go back to the supposed well every year and have won, you know, so many, you know, competitions and so many trophies, you know, you have to give them credit that they're always coming back. They always are refreshed and ready to go again every year. And yes, there has been the odd occasional kind of blip from them, but you know, again, I think I said it maybe a couple of weeks ago, and I got a bit of slagging about this from some of my own club mates, and in terms of what's their biggest dilemma now moving forward. They'll have learned a lot from the Derry game, you know, in the National League final. I think their biggest problem now at the minute is their choice of keeper and what they're going to do and where they're going to go. And we've talked about this before. Is it O'Hanlon, Cluxton, Gummerford, the experience, or for me, maybe O'Hanlon's next in line, but Gummerford gives you a bit more.
Well, fact that Cluxton's named in the panel would make you think he's playing. He's not coming back to carry the water.
Did you see as well, by the way, they put him on the last slide on the Instagram posts. So you were kind of flicking through to see, where is he? Oh, there he is.
Experience now in terms of, you know, I even noticing something like that as well, but you know, you'd expect, you know, them to bring the likes of even Kilkenny. Manuel will probably play a bit more of a part. McCarthy, you know, Fenton's missing at this stage, if I'm correct in saying. I'm not sure.
He's suspended yet.
Appealing, but like, you know, those are household names. And again, you look at the depth and the rest of the squad, the Bubners, Smalls, you know, players who have really stepped up this year as well. So it's unbelievable from them. To see that depth and you know, to see that squad and talent as well, and they deserve massive credit. And I know in our notes leading up to today, we were asked about what is a good result for Meath, you know, going into this weekend's game. I think that they've conceded 20 points and more in the last 5 meetings. So I think anything less than 20 points, and to keep that score, you know, obviously closer than what it has been. I think they've kept them to 4 points, maybe. That's the closest they've been in the last maybe 5 years. So if they could keep that scoreline down and keep them from scoring, you know, over 20 points, I think that would be a win for me.
Isn't it a fright to God, Rory, that we're talking about a game in that way, that you're thinking as a manager, how do I walk into a dressing room and say, what is success to us when you're thinking about being beaten by that margin? It must be a challenging one for Colm O'Rourke to be facing this weekend.
It is, and it's just a pity, really. I mean, I'll put a question to both of you. If you pick the best of Leinster, that's 11 counties, would they give Dublin a game?
No.
Ryan, what you think?
Well, I'm just thinking back to even you know, Jackie and saying, how would you prepare as a coach for this weekend? And I've been fortunate to have a few opportunities over the last number of years. Surely they've got to look at the blueprint. Surely they've got to be studying Derry inside out from last week and saying, listen, lads, this is what we need to recreate and go down that avenue. And you know, maybe, they don't have the calibre of player, you know, but that's the avenue we have to do. Going back to that question, I just think they're so well oiled.
They have a lot of things going in their favour as well, though. You know, like the cohesion of that squad, they've been together, they've had success at underage level. Desi has obviously brought them through at under 21 level, and they're building on the success that Jim Gavin did, where there's a strength and conditioning model that's been in place for 15 years there, where they're getting success out of, and you're seeing this all the way down.
They didn't have to pay for their own stadium.
But they didn't have to pay for anything else either, Rory, because the funding model that is there, that exists in Dublin, allows them to do all of these things. And that is probably why I hate to say that I don't think anybody else in Leinster would give them a game if you had a combined team. I think there are a lot of other exceptional players in Leinster, but I think all of those factors that Dublin have going for them make it very hard for anybody to compete with, I think. What do you think?
Yeah. No, well, I think there's streets ahead. It's a shame. I mean, like, I grew up at a time where, I mean, people won't believe this, but the 1991 saga was sometimes heralded as they saved Gaelic games because of what had happened with Italia 90 and all the hoopla that accompanied that. I remember all of that vividly. And everyone saying, like, you know, you had FAI lads singing, you know, who the hell are the GAA and all of this type of stuff going on. And then within 12 months, we had this just amazing, amazing four-game saga that just went on and on and had so many different tangents and anecdotes and stories. I mean, it's just this legendary fixture that will, you know, will stand out in the, when the history of the Gaelic Games is written, this will be right in there. It'll have probably its own chapter. It was that significant. But it's just fallen a long way. I don't necessarily think we were ever in a situation in Leinster where you needed to have four or five teams to be able to be competing at the top to make it a Leinster Championship. No province has that, not even Ulster. But you would have hoped that there would have been two teams, or certainly one other team, to be able to put it up to them.
Yeah.
And we ain't going to see that this weekend. I think if the game had been in Tailteann, it might have got under the 10, but that's where I see it, unfortunately. It's going to be 10 plus.
Yeah, I think there's just a lot of factors there where I think for Colm O'Rourke, he's just dealing in a different space right now with this Meath team. And to be fair to them, I think they've probably had what they would deem a successful enough season already and building off the back of the silverware last year, Ryan. And I think, you know, for them to be maybe seen as the second best team in Leinster right now is maybe actually a result in itself, because given where they're coming from, you know.
Yeah, I think I called Westmeath the second best.
Well, so team. Did a lot of us. Yeah.
Again, I'm not going to probably make any predictions this week after that. No, going back to me, their Division 2 campaign has been a bit, you know, up and down. Yeah, it's been inconsistent, and I think that's kind of where they're at the moment. They need to ensure as well that they go out this weekend. And as I said, you know, they're going to have to learn the lessons from that league final in Derry. And they should be looking to that game and say, listen, there are certain weaknesses in Dublin. They're definitely not the finished article. And if we can expose them in these areas, you know, we're in with a fighting chance. But again, listen, it's a big ask, and we'll not go into the funding route. Again, I'm kind of annoyed enough about the championship and where we sit. So no, we'll leave.
I never give out about the funding.
Yeah. I don't want to push you over the edge today ahead of I'm in a good place today. I don't need to go there. Okay, let's round
it. Booster, sorry, as well. So if anyone wants to donate, you can go on the club funder.
Fair play. Get the plug in.
Good man. Okay, right. The other games in Leinster then. Kildare-Wicklow, I think, is interesting, Rory, because the good feeling around Wicklow was so positive this week, you know, just to see that a team can go out and do something like that. We talked about Waterford. We talked about that on the podcast on Monday. And I do think the feel-good factor has to be there. It's just what they do with it now. How do you build on the momentum against a Kildare team who are under savage pressure? You know, you talked about Armagh in the other game in Ulster, that all the pressure is on them. There is so much pressure on Kildare this weekend, because even the state that they're in right now, and it has been a terrible year, everybody still expects them to win this game. I'm going to be fascinated to see how Oisín McConville does his very best to try to upset, because if you're right, if they could pull off another huge shock here, it'd be a ridiculous achievement for a Wicklow team.
You're into Mick O'Dwyer territory. Yeah. And I think you're going back that far for the last time Wicklow had a championship win over Kildare. I think you're going back to 2008, which will give you an indication. I don't know how many, is it four or five championship meetings since then, all won by Kildare and all pretty convincing at the same time. I think Kildare really need to see this as the greatest opportunity of a reset. Like, park the league, compartmentalize it, and just totally put it in the bin in a mental sense and see, right, they've got a fantastic opportunity to make a Leinster final. Okay, they'll eventually be going in against Dublin. They might cop a bit of a drubbing. But what a chance now. They were under the impression that it was Westmeath Louth to make a Leinster final and maintain Sam Maguire status. They're now looking at Wicklow potentially Louth. And we don't know what could happen in that fixture, by the way. So I think it's a brilliant opportunity for Kildare to hit that reset button, park whatever internal rows, whatever internal shenanigans or bad vibes and say, right, lads, look, we have a chance here. We're going to a Moor Park. We're playing the team that we weren't expecting to be playing. We've got a good record against them. If we turn them over, we're 70 minutes away from maintaining our Sam Maguire status, and we can worry about Division 3 next year and all the badness that came with that. So I think that's the way Kildare would, I assume, be approaching this. From Wicklow's perspective, You would assume it's going to be a case of bonus territory, and again going in not too dissimilar to Fermanagh, with no real pressure on board, and they can go in and have a cut. They have the experience of playing in O'Moor Park from last weekend. The weather again is meant to be brutal again this weekend, so that will probably help. That poor weather always evens the score a little bit. So you give them a shout, but only a very, very small one.
Yeah. Is that how you see it, Ryan?
Yeah. And again, I'd written down, you know, the side of the draw for me, you know, would favour that real opportunity for both sides, and give Wicklow their credit, obviously, after last weekend's massive performance, and one that I clearly didn't see coming as well. Oisín McConville will be licking his lips for this game as well, you know, and he'll be really looking forward to it. Is it a chance story as well? Maybe I'm a bit wrong here, you know, for Kildare to right the wrongs of the league. Can they still qualify for the championship, both sides, if they get through to that Leinster final?
If they make it through to the Leinster final, they're in the Sam Maguire. I see two.
Yeah, so, I know, which would be some turnaround.
Yeah, so I know I'd logged it down. I wasn't just 100% sure on that one. But again, it's an unbelievable opportunity for Glenn Ryan as well, you know, when he... I'm sure he's licking his lips, sorry, as well, you know, to look at the opportunity to play, Louth or Wexford and to put himself into a championship season, especially after, you know, what's happened. And I know it surely was a beautiful thing in soccer when you were playing league fixtures and the league wasn't going overly well. You could turn your sinking to a championship game or a knockout game, albeit, you know, whatever it may have been. But the pressure that was off you, you know, going into those games as well was brilliant. Yeah, and you just forget about that league or whatever was going on in the league and just go out with a fresh focus and fresh mindset that, you know, we're going to give this a go as well. So, you know, it's a chance for them to really redeem themselves. And I think for the players, more than anything else, to put away, that dismal, you know, campaign when it was seven losses. I don't even know when the last time that happened in Division 2 as well, you know. So they'll be surely looking forward to the game at the weekend. And so will Wicklow as well.
Mm. That's the opportunity, Rory. I think it's just because the alternative to Kildare is disaster territory. You know, if they find themselves in the Tailteann Cup this year after being relegated from Division 2, that is a proper crisis for a team who've actually had quite a lot of underage success. They've got a massive population. Things are going well in the club game. There's no reason for them not to be successful. So this would be a crisis if they don't actually win on, I mean, and not even just this game, but Wexford Louth. I think Kildare will be looking at this side of the draw, as you say, and they will feel we're the strongest team on this side of the draw and we should be in a Leinster final.
A current under 20 All-Ireland champions. Yeah. They've been in a couple of finals the last couple of years. They are more than competing with Dublin in an underage sense. They have shown a lot of ambition right across the board in terms of even, you know, St. Conleth's Park and the redevelopment there. I know it's maybe hit a bit of a stumbling block at the minute, but I think there's like lots of positives going on in Kildare. The problem in most counties is, particularly football counties where football is the dominant, everything seems to get reflected through the success or otherwise of your senior men's inter-county team. And that sometimes doesn't paint the full picture. But I think from Glenn Ryan and from Anthony Rainbow and from Dermot and all the lads who obviously bleed white, like, these guys really do need a victory this weekend. Whatever's in them needs to come out, and the players really need to give them something. I think they'll win.
Yeah, I do too. Okay, last one then on the others. Just give me a, you know, one, two word answer, whatever you want to. Wexford Louth. Who do you think is going to win that one, Ryan?
I think Louth are going to, you know, I think they're going to overcome this one at the weekend. I think they're a strong finish to their league campaign as well. And I think it kind of sets up the possibility, as well of getting over a semi-final and albeit, you know, a Dublin man against Dublin maybe in the final as well. So, you know, that would be something that he'd be licking his lips with, Mr. Brennan as well. And no, maybe a case for them that they were probably disappointed with that league campaign as well, you know, but to finish so strongly, they obviously give ourselves a bit of a hockey, and again, we're, you know, I suppose people can say they were maybe fortunate to stay up, but they were, you know, more than good enough to be in that division. And I think they'll kick on from this as well. You know, I think my thought is that they're actually starting to settle at the moment. And for me, unfortunately, Wexford don't have a chance this weekend.
Okay, you fancy them, Rory?
I just think it might be the one fixture that gives us a bit of an upset this weekend. I think they had a great league campaign.
They were
unlucky not to be playing Division 3 football. You know, I don't necessarily see the gap between teams in Division 2 and 3. I don't see it as a huge jump. I think they've got a couple of really good quality forwards. They will rack up a fairly decent score. They should have a reasonably big crowd. It's a double header in Amore Park, so it should be a good atmosphere there. It's amazing how many games Amore Park gets, but anyway, that's another day's story. No, I'd give them a small shake of an upset. Obviously, the farm lines lie with Louth, but for me, I'm going to go with Wexford, and Mikey will be delighted.
Oh, exactly. Listen, fair play. Okay, right. Last one then, briefly. Leash Offaly.
Who are we voting for?
Yeah, exactly. I love that. The voting constituency. Yeah. Go on. Who are you going for then?
Got to go with Leash bringing their league form in and their emphatic, I suppose, final victory as well. So for me, it's got to be Leash for this one. And Offaly, unfortunately, have again had one of those kind of sticky campaigns. So it's got to be Leash for me.
Me too. I'm going to go with Leash as well. I think it's one of those fixtures actually that actually it still preserves that notion of what's important about the provincial championships, because it's a real local rivalry. Like, I mean, these are two counties that absolutely, you know, wouldn't be the best of buddies in hurling or football, by the way. And so there'll be a lot of interest in this fixture on Saturday night. I don't know, is this game on GAA? It'd be one would absolutely be one to watch. I must check that out. But yeah, I'm going to go with Leash to keep their run going.
Okay, well, if Leash win that one and Shane Lowry wins the Masters, I think the Offaly people will be happy anyway.
They'll take that.
Right, lads, we'll leave it there. Ryan, thanks a million for being with us. Myself and Rory will be back on Monday when we look back on another weekend of hopefully thrilling action. Don't forget to like and follow wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll talk to you next week.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
What I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it, it's over the bar! Oh, holy Moses!